Well, we've been talking about more in 24. It's half gone, so if we haven't got more in 24, we've got 6 more months to get it, find it, seek it out, discover it. We've been talking about experiencing a spiritual awakening. If that hasn't happened yet, that's okay. We don't want to force anything. We just want to be open to God moving in our lives. So we've got 6 more months that hopefully God reveals himself and we do have some type of a spiritual awakening as individuals. And I think when we experience that energy, it grows and it manifests itself into a greater feeling, a greater sense of energy. And I love that. We've been talking about not just being closer to Christ. I talked a couple of weeks ago about we can be close to him, yet be nothing like him. Now, it's hard to spend a lot of time around people and not be somewhat like them or pick up some of their characteristics and they pick up some of yours. But when we do that, we don't want to just be near Christ. I feel like I'm near him when I'm in church. That's great. When are you most not like him? That's when you need to be nearer to him. I'm most not like him when I'm at work, when I'm with my friends, when I'm with my family, when I'm whatever. Away from those people. Discovering where it is that we're least like Christ is the beginning of our journey to be more Christ-like. To get and or to do or to experience the more in 24 or the spiritual awakening, we have to be closer to him, though. That's the start of it. And then we have to try and say, how can we be more like him? And we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. Our actions and our words. Can we fake those? Yes, but there's one more thing we have to be very careful of that reveals a lot about us. Church, that's our motives. My words can be all flowing and glowing and fancy and all that stuff. Oh, it sounds like he's really religious. His actions may seem that way. Her actions may seem that way. But what are the motives behind what they do and what they say? That's where our relationship with Christ lies. And our motives. What's your motive? It's to be closer to Christ. I want to talk like him. I want to love others. Well, is your motive to impress someone that they think you're like him or to really try and become like that? I'm trying to convince nobody but myself that I want to be more Christ-like. We just finished the Lord's table. Eat of this bread when you do this. When you drink of this cup, do this what? In remembrance of me. He says, remember me when you do these things. And our day-to-day life should be remembering him when we do those as well. Do this in remembrance of me. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. Not the 1 John that you come to, just John, but 1 John, chapter 2. And as you're turning there, let's figure out a way we can be closer to Christ. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Boy, we will rejoice lacklusterly and be so, so glad in it. Let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Christ, I don't feel like it today, but man, I'm going to fake it till I make it. So this is the day which I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. God, you flooded my house. You flooded my yard. God, my car wouldn't start. My air conditioning's out. My stove went out. My wife was never so dissatisfied with me when she found out our double oven went out. And I went to the garage and managed to turn a fuse off and on. And I'm a miracle worker. I fixed it. She said, I already had a new one picked out. I said, I'm so sorry, honey. You're married to an amazing maintenance guy. I fixed it. I'm going to fake it till I make it. Lord, when things come against me, I know that this is the day that you've made. And I'm still going to choose to rejoice and be glad in it because I know there's tomorrow. God, I can think of at least one time I've overcome something. So I know I can overcome this. God, my air conditioner went out at home. My wife has never been so dissatisfied with me as when our air conditioner went out last week. Yeah. I went out to the garage, flicked off two fuses and turned them back on and said, I'm a miracle worker. I also fixed those. Two things fixed in a week. It's more than I've done in a year. Wow, I can overcome so long as it's a fuse. But if it's bigger than that, can I overcome it? I'm thankful I didn't have to buy a new air conditioner. I'm thankful I didn't have to buy a new double oven that she already had picked out. She was researching fast. But can I rejoice if those weren't the cases? Could she rejoice if I wasn't the amazing miracle worker that I am around the home fixing things? We've got to find a way to continue to rejoice, continue to love God, continue to serve God, even when things are difficult for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. And it says this. Well, I'm going to go up to verse 3, actually. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. It says, now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments, is what? He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And then verse 6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Today's message is walking as he walks. He ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We're to walk the same way Jesus walked, if we say he is in us. And likewise, if we are in him, we walk with him. We walk like him. Our character should be like him. Our walk should be like his. Our motives should be like his. Again, any great movie, they can act and they can speak any way they want and have us convinced. You ever heard someone that's from America and they're doing an English accent and you think, oh, I didn't know they were British? Well, they're not. They're acting. They speak in a way that convinces people and they act in a way that convinces people that they are somebody other than who they are. You think Christians don't do that? You think we don't try to impress or convince or trick or deceive or manipulate others? Our motives have to be pure. The first thing in our journey to becoming more like Jesus and walking the way he walks is Christ-likeness. One word, Christ-likeness. If we know him, we should walk as he walked. Now, there are several scriptures that support these different things that I'm going to be talking about today. But I'm just going to touch on a few. 1 John 2, verse 3 through 6, just tells us, if we do this, we ought to walk as he walked. The second thing that helps us to walk as he walks is righteousness. Ephesians chapter 2, if you'll turn there. We've only got a couple scriptures we're looking at today. Jan, you talked about studying Ephesians today. I thought, man, she's going after my message. She saw my notes. What's happening here? But it lined up with what Kisha said. Then I thought, she saw my notes. What are we doing here? It just lines up with what God has for us today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, "For we are," not we might be, but "we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I love this. This is the second most power-packed verse we're looking at today. And I've only got two other scriptures, so brace yourself. We are his workmanship. I love that. That old poster, "I know God don't make no junk." We are his workmanship. But then it says, "created in Christ Jesus for" what? Oh, just to do whatever we want. No, "for good works." Then it tells us God's already prepared it. God prepared beforehand. And then it says what? That we should walk in those good works. So the second thing to help us to be Christ-like and walk like Christ is righteousness. Our walk should be characterized by good works. By the way, which God prepared beforehand, he says. Now that doesn't mean good works get us into heaven. But it says we're prepared for that. We're made for that. We're created for that. Created for good works. What about the evil things that we're out there doing? Change it. I didn't really see an on-off switch, a toggle switch, a knob. Here's your new knob. Here's your toggle switch. Here's your push button. Whatever it is, we talked a couple weeks ago also, we have to get in our Bibles. And we have to know what it says. Because that tells us how to turn it off. First thing is repent. Let me just turn away from it and walk away. Let me pray about it. The Lord's Prayer. "Lead me not into temptation, but" what? "Deliver me from evil." Pray about it. Ask others to pray for you. But it's our righteousness that helps us walk like Christ and be in his shoes. Number three, obedience. Why do we have such a hard time with that? Man, our parents, our bosses, our Heavenly Father. Why do we struggle with obedience? Turn to 2 John. But it's hard for us. And Jan, you talked about that earlier. We question. Eric talked about that last week. We justify the things that we do or the things that we don't do. 2 John, verse 6. Okay, let's start in verse 4. I'm trying to get to just the one verse, but verse 4 lines it out. And it says, "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth." Well, amen. "As we receive commandment from the Father." Oh, man, they're walking in the truth, following the Father's commandments. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And then verse 6, this is love. Here we go. That we walk according to his commandments. This is a commandment that, as I have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. That obedience is following his commandments. And it's understanding he says to do this, we should do this. Oh, then there's the things he says you shouldn't do. Well, we shouldn't do those either. It's following his commandments. What else is in this toggle switch, this on-off switch, this new knob that we have? Instructions. His commandments are in here. This is a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. If you say you love God but hate your brother, you are a liar. This is a new commandment, that you love one another. But how? As he has already loved us. He's given us another example. He went to the cross for us while we are yet still sinners. He died for us. Obedience to his commandments will help us walk like Christ walked. It'll help us talk like he talked, having compassion for one another, caring about one another, loving one another through what? Through all of our differences. Because he loved us, we should love one another. But then there comes discernment and understanding what his word says above and beyond that. That's why you can't just take one thing and say, oh, it means this. There's all these other things that come into play. But I told you, I already read you the second most power-packed verse. I'm getting ready to read you the most power-packed verse today. Colossians chapter 1. There's some meat in this scripture. Not to imply there's not meat in all the scriptures. I'm just saying this is a lot of good meat. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Okay, let's start in verse 9. And it says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Church, let us continue to pray for one another. Pray for the people we know. Pray for those we don't know. Pray for the lost. Pray for the hurt, the dying, those that are being healed. Pray for Dale as he recovers from surgery. Pray for Kathy and her family, as her mother is preparing to go be with Jesus soon. Pray for those people in the church body. Pray for your family. Pray for your co-workers, your fellow students. Pray for our young people. Pray for our old people. I'll point at me. Pray for one another. But it says, we do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Okay, I'll read one more verse. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. When we walk the walk of Christ, we are walking in newness of light. We are no longer in darkness. He is light. When we're heading to a dark place, He is trying to divert us and pull us through and pull us out of that darkness. The people once lived in darkness. The New Testament tells us, remember when you used to walk in that darkness, but now you're a new creation. In that scripture right there, Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12 specifically, there's four characteristics I want to give you before we close. Now, I gave you three things to be to walk like Christ. We have to have Christ-likeness in our life. We have to have righteousness and obedience. Yes, there are other things. Those are the things I want to focus on. But here out of Colossians, I want to give you four characteristics that we just read. It says, being fruitful in every good work. I love that. He created us for good works, and now He says, be fruitful in every good work. Number two, steadily increase in the knowledge of God. I'm going to look at David for a minute. There's a few others. When you're cramming for a college exam, you're not going to learn it all in one night, are you? There's probably been some steady studying. Now, I'm not saying that there might not have been one attempt to do it in one night, but it's steadily increasing in your knowledge of those subjects, right? Being consistent. By the way, for most of us, it is real hard to pick a night or every day and get in here and say, I will do my own study on my own by myself. No need for church. That's my plug. Be here on Wednesday nights. Be here on Wednesday nights. Get into the Word. Get other people's ideas, opinions, thoughts. Line those up. I read a couple weeks ago where they listened when the disciples came into town. Then they went back, searched out the Scripture and said, does it line up with the Scriptures? Because we have to make sure it does line up. Steadily increasing in your knowledge of God. And then using the power of God to joyfully, oh no, there's that word again, to joyfully endure. Those don't even sound like they go together. You're to joyfully endure and patiently persevere. Those two things, ooh, they're like opposites. But He tells us, use the power of God to do that. Because you don't have the power to joyfully endure much or patiently persevere. But God gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to do those things. And then I love at the end there, verse 12, giving thanks to the Father. And I love that. The fourth characteristic, give thanks to the Father. God, I'm always going to You, requesting things, pleading, begging. I got a novel idea. Let's show up and say, God, I want to thank You for everything You've given me. God, I want to thank You for the people that are in my life. I told my mother one day, years and years ago, I said, if I could go back and change anything in my life, I guess I can't, it's easy to say that, but I said, I wouldn't change anything because everything has made me who and what I am. Not a perfect man by any means, but it made me who and what I am. Able to stand here today, and I can tell you today, every day is more satisfying to me than the day before was. God has allowed me to see that. God has allowed me to experience that. Is it without problems? No. I had an air conditioner go out. I had to figure out where the fuse box was. I'm just making light of that, but that really did happen, though. But I'm just saying that there are problems that come up. I've been at my new job. Oh, I'm starting my second year this week. Man, that's pretty hard losing a job a month before you turn 60. Life hasn't been perfect, but it's been good. God has just loaded Cindy and I down with money. No, that's not true. Okay? Do we have what we need? Yes. It's being able to recognize what God has done in your life, who He has put in your life, and how He has blessed you with those people. And now also saying, can you be a blessing to them? What's your motive? Church, we've got another half year to experience more in 24. The first half has been full. It's had challenges. But it had things that we can say, God, I'm thankful for this. Let's take the time to give thanks to the Father. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the message today. Walking as You walked. God, we know that the walk is not always easy. It is not always clear. The walk is not without its challenges. And the walk is not without darkness. But God, we thank You for Your biblical examples of how to walk like Christ walked. The first, just attempting to be like Him, to think like Him, to love like Him. The second, just to be righteous. Lord, that we can be righteous like Him. But God, in the midst of that, that we could be obedient. God, why do we struggle? Why do we challenge You? Why do we challenge Your Word? God, help us to be obedient. God, just help us to give You thanks at the end of the day, Lord, in the beginning of the day, and throughout the day to give You thanks. God, help show us where we are on our journey and reveal to us the path You would like us to be on. And give us strength and boldness to start down that path. In Jesus' name, amen.